irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
The best in morning radio. Tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Only on LA Talk Radio.
And good morning and welcome to Friday, August 15th. We're back. I know you probably thought we were gone forever, but no, only 2 days. I needed to catch up on some sleep, man. I really did.
Were you able to?
Yeah, a little bit. But you know what? It seems like, Charlotte, it doesn't matter how long I sleep, I'm still tired in the morning.
Tired.
So yeah, so I shouldn't even worry about it and just go to sleep when I can. And
yeah,
that's it.
You're just not a morning person. You're a night person.
But that's not true at all. You see, I love the morning. I love early morning.
Yeah.
But it's just because of work I stay up late.
Right.
You know, it wouldn't have been like that otherwise. So
is it because I hate getting out of bed?
Once yeah, I know.
Out of bed, I'm fine.
I know.
But it's just like getting out of bed on 5 more minutes.
Yeah,
five
exactly. Minutes. You know, and it's nice and warm under the blanket and stuff, you know. That's why I find the act of actually sitting up in bed and getting out to be the hardest for me during the day.
Yeah.
It's the hardest thing to do, you know. And all you have to do is sit up and get out of bed, you know. Yeah. That's all it is.
When you take naps, do you just keep... Because when I would take naps in college or something before practice or... It was just the worst thing. I didn't want to get out of bed. I just wanted to nap for like 5-6 hours.
Yeah.
I could have.
Yeah.
Is that what your naps are like?
Yeah. That's why I have to set the clock to get up, you know, after an hour and a half, 2 hours.
That's the worst, though. When the alarm clock goes off after a nap, your heart's like... It's like, no, I don't want to get up.
I know. And you know, you still have things to do, you know.
Yeah.
So you go, wow, you know. And sometimes I'm just like, I can't sleep well because I think there's something I got to do, you know. And
right.
if I miss it and the clock doesn't go off or something, you know, it'll be terrible.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that's that. So how are you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah, you ready for the weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Yep. I'm thinking of taking the bike down to like Manhattan Beach, you know, some of the South beaches.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be cool, actually.
If you go to Manhattan Beach, there is the best ice cream sandwich store.
Really?
The best ever.
Uh-huh.
I've no idea what it's called. It's on, it's one street up from... the pier. If you're looking away from the pier, it's on the right hand side.
Okay.
It looks really girly. It has like these cool chairs outside. The backs are super high, but is the best ice cream sandwiches I've ever had.
Really?
Ever.
Wow.
So
then I'll have
one.
To taste it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll have to see if I remember. I probably will once I get hot out there, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Ice cream's perfect.
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, the cakes and the sweets and the ice cream, I mean, it's just a cool store.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's like the main street, like away from the pier.
Yeah, main street. It's on the right-hand side if you're looking up the street away from the pier.
Okay.
I think it's the second row up.
Okay. Ice cream sandwich it
or
is.
It might be
I'll
just the right, the first road.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first road on the side away from the pier.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I'll look for it. And I probably want to go down to Redondo as well. So, yeah. So I have to leave early tomorrow, you know.
Yeah.
So.
I like, is Redondo the one that has the big industry?
Big industry.
Not industrial building thing.
No, I don't think
so.
Or
is that Hermosa? One of them. I mean, it's just so ugly.
Yeah.
It's so pretty down there. I love it.
Right.
When you look to the when you look away from the beach, all you see is the big industrial building.
Oh, no, I don't think that's Redondo. No, that's
is
before.
That it is.
You mean like where the power station is and everything?
Yeah,
with
by
the,
that.
Yeah, where the stacks, the smokestacks are and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that's way before that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's between Playa and Manhattan or something. I think no,
I don't think so.
No, okay. Well, I don't
think it's
remember.
A little bit further down.
Okay.
But I mean, maybe it's not.
Yeah. I don't know. Who cares anyway, right?
Yeah. But it just makes the beach so... Like, you go to the beach because it's pretty.
Right.
And you have the big... But apparently they're supposed to be doing something with it to make it nicer.
Okay.
But how do you make it nicer?
Well, I don't know. You just tear it down, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, that should be cool. You know, also, I'm still, like, reading about Robin Williams and stuff. I really want to catch up on some of his comedy, Because, I mean, he was like my favorite for so many years.
Right.
He was just extremely funny, extremely crazy. And every time he was on an interview on TV, he would get out of his chair and start walking around and jumping on the chairs and all this stuff.
Or singing.
Yeah, it's turning so the place inside out, you know. Yeah. So that was always funny. And he had the balls to do that, you know, and not really care. And, you know, and then he became a very good actor in dramas and stuff, you know. So he really showed a pretty good range of what he could do. And but still, he was the funniest, you know. He'd come up with the funniest things ever. And do you remember the movie Patch Adams where he was like a clown and he would go and help? Whatever, was he a clown? I don't know. He was a clown in part of it.
And
he was helping kids with terminal illness and things like that. It was a very, like, emotional film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's done a bunch of different ones.
Yeah. Yeah, he really has been. So, and now they're saying that he was hiding that he was getting Parkinson's disease.
Yeah, in the early stages, and he wasn't ready to tell the public.
Right. Because that's pretty scary. You know, my dad has it. My grandfather had it. And my father-in-law had it, who died from it. And it's a pretty cruel thing because it takes you slowly, you know?
Yeah.
And you start disintegrating and stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like very... so I don't blame him for you know, being depressed about that too, you know? So, but that's the thing about deep depression, clinical depression, is that doesn't have to be something in your life that's terrible. You just feel like shit anyway, you know?
And because he already had depression, but depression is linked to Parkinson's. Almost everyone that has Parkinson's suffers from depression.
Oh, really?
That's what
I read. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I hope I don't get it, man. But, I mean, we have to die somehow, right?
Right.
Every one of us is going to get something. Unless we're lucky and we die younger in an accident or something.
Yeah. You know?
I don't know. I think I'd rather go that way than to disintegrate old, you know? Let it just happen quickly and that's it. Get it over with.
Right.
Yeah. It's terrible. You know, I mean, I've seen my uncle getting sick and you know, spending the last of his years really being miserable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, why would anybody want that, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know that I'd be able to kill myself or anything, but I could wish, right? I could wish that I could go easily.
Yeah.
Yeah, and quickly.
Yeah.
Okay, we won't talk about death anymore, Charlotte. I can tell you're shaking.
Sad Friday topic.
Yeah, I know. It is Friday. Wow, it is cool, man. I'm glad it's Friday. And I was just irritated in the morning because they were doing construction and I had to go all the way around and figure out how to get here. Because it's getting here involves a lot of U-turns. You know? So I just parked over on the street there.
Well, I noticed that your car, I was like, is Sam not here? Because his car, maybe he's ridden his bike. And then when you
Noticed, there was hardly any cars in the front this morning.
Yeah.
Because everybody had to deal with the same thing.
True.
Yeah.
Means so, I got a good spot.
Yeah, I guess. And, you know, just finally, just to touch on this thing in Missouri with all the protests and everything, you know, this cop, I guess a white cop, shot a black guy. And
they've just released the cop's name.
Yeah. And, but, you know, I mean, this has happened way too often, you know, and, you know, the thing is, I don't know if it's racial or not. People seem to think it is. I don't know why every time there's a white and a black person, they make it racial. But, you know, maybe they know something I don't. Mm-hmm. But maybe it's not. You know, maybe the cop would have done it anyway. I mean, they're accusing the kid of a robbery for being part of a robbery.
Yeah.
So I don't know. You know, you don't know what goes on through their mind.
Stealing a pack of cigars at a convenience store.
Wow. Yeah.
Apparently
he was shot 8 times. I mean, that's
exactly.
Excessive,
that,
right?
I know. Is stealing a pack of cigars really worth taking a life?
Well, I don't know that was the reason. I mean, the reason was the cop claims that the guy attacked him in the car or something, you know. So I don't know what happened there, but it just goes to show you, you know, especially in the South, we're still deeply divided. And that sucks, you know? Mm-hmm. It really sucks. I mean, we have a black president. Do you think people would get over it by now?
Yeah.
But no, that's not the case. All right, so anyway, we're going to make it a happier Friday. We have a couple of great guests in the studio who were supposed to be here last week, but they figured they're going to sleep in until today and come in today. So,
Sam, here are your cigars back, by the way.
Yeah, there you go. So, Nikki Kurula, right?
Yes.
And indeed. Eddie Pence.
Yeah, and in my defense,
yes,
I was scheduled not to be here because I was out of town.
Okay, so you it's knew you would be here.
Nikhil
I'm
the
only
one,
that's I slept in.
You're
I
the one who slept in.
I slept in for okay. all of us. Because Fridays are great days to sleep in.
I'm clear. I was cleared of any wrongdoing.
That's why I made Eddie come 20 minutes early.
Yeah. I'm going to be here at 9:30. I'm like, you dick.
Payback's a bitch.
I'll get you.
So Nikhil and Eddie are hosting a show here called Wake Up Hollywood.
Yeah.
You guys started about 3 weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
And so tell us a little bit about the show, and then we'll find out about you guys and stuff. Tell us about Wake Up Hollywood. I think it kind of like tells you the story, at least Hollywood does. But what are you waking up there? What
just
is
trying to get people to recognize and pay attention to artists they might not have heard of or seen before. Just
oh, wow.
Sort of like, hey, wake up and pay attention to, you know, some other people that are talented that deserve the spotlight too.
Oh, okay. So it's not like about scandals in Hollywood.
No, it's not. We're trying to do a play on words where it's like Wake Up Hollywood, like a morning talk show, but really it's at night, and we're talking about more of the like, hey, pay attention.
We're putting a spotlight.
Like wake up and pay attention type of thing.
Showcasing new artists.
I think we outsmarted ourselves with the title. That was the problem.
You came up with that.
Yeah, that was my fault.
Yeah.
We started about 5 months ago on Radio Titans on a different network, and we're so happy to be here now.
Awesome.
And we've just been building our audience and just kind of, you know, making the most of every show and just bringing in every kind of medium that we can think of. Like, we do a lot of musicians, we have a lot of filmmakers,
comedians coming up,
actors. So
very cool. So you feature a lot of artists that are less known and stuff, and giving them the opportunity to get some exposure and stuff.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
I think the biggest concept, it's like both Eddie and I, we've toured across the country so much, and we've done a lot of radio shows, so we kind of knew what questions to ask, because I'm sure you've been asked a lot of dumb questions as I'm.
Yes.
So, yeah. You know, I think that's a bigger thing, too. It's like sometimes when you're being interviewed by, you know, certain radio hosts, they don't really have maybe all of your information, or they don't know what to ask for about music, or like, you know what I mean? So it was kind of like, let's ask the questions that musicians or comedians or artists would want to ask other artists, so you get a deeper perspective. And
yeah, it's pretty much, I mean, if you get involved in the conversation, then the questions come up, you know? You don't have to prepare anything.
I think a great interview is all about the questions, really.
Definitely. And
it's not an interview without questions.
You just interrupted her, right?
Sorry.
It's okay.
But
when
I see dumbness, I have to call it out.
How do you feel when you look in the mirror, Eddie?
Morning.
But obviously they're getting quality interviews, which is not what people that are up and coming, the big stations, the big networks are highlighting, the people that have made it, not the people that are on their way.
Yeah.
And it's those people that need the quality interviews to gain the exposure.
Well, yeah, that's the whole point. And it also, it's like, you know, if you see like what's being highlighted now, there's so many artists that are just shitty. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I know that there are so many people that probably think the same thing. So we want to showcase artists that either are on the brink, artists that are just starting, or artists that have been seasoned and have maybe not gotten the break that we think are awesome. So that's really the concept behind the show.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. And so you're a musician and Eddie's a comic. And so you guys tour. Do you tour together?
We've never toured together.
No, we never will. We never, ever will.
He just made up his mind about that.
I don't think comedy works. I mean, it's my opinion. I don't think comedy works well with music. Like, I don't think it's the audiences aren't prepared to watch.
Do you
a
think
comedian
so? Because like SNL and stuff makes that a lot of shows.
Bonnaroo, comedy and SNL.
Yeah, but Bonnaroo, it's
late
not
night talk shows.
It's yeah, but you're not.
You're still right.
I am. I'm completely 100% right. If you're doing a concert and then all of a sudden I just pop up and doing stand up like during your intermission, it doesn't go.
That's
well.
That's true.
It doesn't go well.
I think there's a place.
Like a late night talk show. It's set. It's structured for that. Like. And then SNL, it's structured for, there's comedy and music, but if someone goes to a music concert and then like, okay, we're going to take a 10-minute break, here's a comic, no one wants to watch that comic.
That makes sense. That's true.
The audience is there. They're tuned in to watch music.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's just like, it doesn't work. I've bombed at so many concert venues, you know, playing during while musicians are on a break or whatever. I know it doesn't. The audiences aren't tuned in for it.
Yeah, wow.
It does a disservice to the comedy.
Yeah.
I think it's all on how it's like presented, I think, maybe. That's probably
if it's presented in a proper way, but it's just, it's usually not.
But you're right. You're right.
I know. That's what I said.
You need a hug.
No. I'm just tired. It's early.
What, did you get here at 9:30?
It's really not that early.
It's so early.
It's early for him.
So early.
You can tell by your hair.
Yeah, because you live at night. I mean, comics, they perform at night. That's when you work and stuff. So mornings are more for sleeping and stuff.
Well, I have a kid, so I don't get to sleep anymore. So I'm just, I'm perpetually tired.
It's the best birth control ever. Thank you, Eddie.
No problem.
I know what it's like to be perpetually tired. How old is your kid?
Just turned 5.
Oh, really?
He's in kindergarten now.
Wow.
I was going to answer and be like, oh, he's 38.
Stop touching me.
I'm just kidding.
Why do you keep touching me?
It's going to wake you up. I want to make
I
sure
don't need
up.
It. You
should pull that water over your face.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, he likes you. You know what I mean?
I do.
He
no.
likes, yeah.
I have affection.
A little much.
How long have you guys known each other now?
Maybe 10
10,
years?
11 years, something like that. Something
really?
Like
that. Wow. Do you remember how you met?
Match.com. We actually did a sketch comedy show. Eddie was in, what was the name of the group? Jailbreakers?
Something like that. Some lame term.
So they had a sketch comedy group, and I was asked to be the musical guest. You know, because music and comedy doesn't work.
Yeah, they don't mix together, right?
No. Comedy doesn't mix with music.
No, I can see that.
Just playing during
during the breaks.
While we were breaking, between each sketch, we would have to reset the stage.
And right.
Instead of having people watch us reset the stage, we would turn the lights down, turn the lights up on him, and let him play music while we reset the stage.
Right.
Yes.
So you mean it's okay to have music in a comedy show, but it's not okay to have a comic in a music
thing.
Show?
If it's like a two-minute transitional
thing. I don't. Okay. Well, we beat this to death, so let's not talk about this anymore.
It needs more discussion, I believe. We really need to rip this apart and figure out the problem.
Okay, so finish what you started. So you were playing at a gig?
I was the band for his sketch comedy show, and we just became good friends. Cause
we just hit it off.
He was definitely one of the best ones in the show. So I like to be around good artists, you know, that do what they do. And I think I've learned that just being in a band. Yeah. I always wanted to be surrounded by the best musicians, and that's what's kind of contributed to the success of, I think, my band. And Eddie's just a great stand-up comedian, so that was one of the reasons why I wanted to do this show with him, and it's been fun so far.
Yeah,
awesome. And you guys have been good friends all this time, too?
Yeah.
Wow,
no,
that's
no
pretty cool.
Yet.
Yeah.
No fights. We don't spend a lot of time together, though, so that helps.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about taking him on the road for a music and comedy tour.
Gross. As long as we do the shows in different places, it's fine.
Yeah. No, but it's good to have buddies. It's good to have good friends, you know, and especially when you share interests and things like that, you know. So so you've been doing music, what, your whole life?
My whole life. I actually started singing when I was 5. I sang at Carnegie Hall when I was 10.
Really?
I sang at the Grammy Awards when I was 11. Sang with like Luther Vandross and Rod Stewart.
Really?
Yeah, did some crazy
stuff.
So
your parents must have been pretty like insistent on you making it.
You
right?
know, the funny thing is, I was just telling a friend of this last night. You know, it's like Robin Williams did Hook, and I was actually selected to be one of the Lost Boys in that movie. And I had a singing engagement that was already booked during the shoot dates. And so my dad was like, no, he's already committed to to this. And I was like kicking and screaming like, no. You know, music is what I've always been doing. And it's kind of like it showed me that, you know, sometimes when you commit to things, you just have to see it through. And here I am 30 years later. And, you know, like I've opened for Dave Matthews Band and bands like Jason Mraz and The Roots and Ben Harper. And so I've been touring all over the country playing festivals, and I've just been having a blast.
Cool.
How did that come about so young? Because to be able to perform at those amazing places so young.
I thought it was normal as a kid. You know, I started singing in a church choir, and then one of the directors ended up starting a children's chorus called the LA Children's Chorus. Mm-hmm. So I was the youngest member in that group. And then as the group started getting bigger gigs, we were just performing all over the place. So we got asked to do 6 operas at the LA Opera. So I did 6 operas with Placido Domingo, which was amazing. And then we were getting all these crazy gigs.
Different kinds of music,
too. Everything. I mean, we were doing classical music, gospel, jazz, but mostly classical stuff. That's what we were doing. Wow. But we were getting calls for movie soundtracks. I did Danny Elfman's first movie soundtrack, and I thought it was just normal. Like, yeah. I was like, yeah, other kids are doing stuff.
Because for you, it's natural. I mean, that's what you are. You're a musician.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you couldn't sit in an office and do a 9 to 5.
I'd go crazy.
Yeah.
I'd go crazy. Yeah. I'd literally go nuts.
I know. It's when you have a creative personality, it's really hard to sit in something structured, you know. You have to have that freedom to move around.
Eddie loves desk jobs, though.
Yeah, huh? I'm sure.
I don't even own a desk in my house. I just put my computer on the floor. That's how much I hate desks.
Yeah, I think, you know, the biggest thing is, like, I love music. I live for it. Uh-huh. But I'm also enamored with so many different art forms. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to do this radio show, was to showcase so many different, you know, mediums. Like, comedy, I know nothing about. I know a lot about music, so I know the questions to ask musicians.
Right. Sure don't.
But comedians, you know, like, I love stand-up comedy. I really do. I'm such a fan. So whenever we have comedians as guests, or even when I'm talking to Eddie about how he does his, you know, gigs, or how he just, you know, networks, or just how he gets success, it's amazing to see how they work on their craft, from the joke to the response to honing it down to whittling it down, I guess you could say, to its finer craft, you know.
So how do you become a comedian? I mean, you feel you're funny early on, and then you decide, okay, I'm going to learn how to be a stand-up comedian. How does it work?
I don't... My story is not as impressive as Nikhil's.
He started as a jackass.
Not impressive at all.
That's not true.
No, really, but what were you doing? I mean, did you do comedy early on in your life?
For friends and things
like that?
For most comedians, I think you're sort of the class clown type of thing.
Yeah.
You kind of just joke, getting in trouble in school, trying to make other kids laugh. I think that's where it starts. I didn't start doing stand-up comedy until I was 23 years old.
Wow. So you consciously decided you're going to do that, get into that?
I'd always wanted to do it, and I moved out here right after college.
Really? Then, where did you go to college?
Virginia Tech.
Oh, wow.
And then I went
ACC. I went to Florida State.
Oh, you nice. Oh, you Florida. I know a couple of people from Florida State. Mm-hmm. I went to Chapman University for the film production program, just to get a film degree that I can't ever use. It's the most useless master's degree ever. And I did that, and I was like, I was out here. I was like, I'd always want to do stand-up comedy, so I just like, I want to do it.
So yeah. So did you decide to move to L.A. for the comedy, or did you move here for other reasons?
I moved here for the comedy under the guise of getting a master's degree.
Okay.
So my parents were like, okay, that's acceptable. So I did that, and I started doing comedy.
So the master's you got out here?
Yeah, I got the master's degree.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. How did you start doing comedy? Do you just go to... start doing little...
I didn't know how to do comedy, because from where I was, there was no comedy scene. There was no, like, I was in, like, a little...
No,
like,
comedy clubs at all?
Not where... I grew up in Virginia, so there was, like, in that suburban Virginia, there was no comedy scene. There was no comedy clubs. I had no idea how to do it. No idea where to go, what to do. So I moved out here. I was like, all right, I looked up one of those classes on the internet, and I was like, okay, I just took a class, and then they had a showcase at the end of the class at the Comedy Store. And
right.
Los Angeles. So the first time I ever did stand up was at the Comedy Store.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
That's how then you start finding different ways to get in different rooms and open mics and stuff like that. I mean, it's sort of learn as you go type of thing.
Yeah,
there's no set plan on how to be a comedian. You just sort of
But that's a good idea, to take a class or two, because you also meet people. Not only do you learn. But
I mean, I probably wouldn't have taken class if I had grown up where there was a stand up community. But I had no idea.
Yeah,
and I felt the only way to plug myself in was just to take a class and then go from there.
That's right. What I did. Yeah. But it's pretty cool, you know, that you feel you want to get into something that you don't know about, but you figure, yeah, I want it real bad, so I'm going to learn about it.
Yeah.
And stuff. So then you started practicing, I guess, and
you start going up and open mics. You go up and you fail a whole bunch.
Yeah. So
Eddie says you comics can't practice. You have to just perform and just get it better.
Well, comedy is about timing and audience reaction.
Yeah. Right.
So you can't do that. But like a musician can, like we talk about Nikhil all the time. He can practice at home.
True.
He can learn how to play guitar without being in front of people.
Right.
You can't learn to tell a joke without being in front of people. You have to get a reaction to see how good the joke is. So there's no... You can write something.
So it's much riskier.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's no net at all.
More vulnerability.
Yeah. I mean, we're not doing dangerous work here, but I'm just saying it's just...
Yeah, but emotionally, I guess for a female, it's probably... You're probably female. Well, all the comics that I know are pretty ballsy.
Yeah,
pretty
I think ballsy women. You just get to that point where you don't care anymore. Right. You don't care if you're judged. Mm-hmm. And you just go up there and you just try it out and see if it works. If it works, great. If not, you just keep working at it.
Yeah. How do you get enough gigs to practice and to be able...
That's the
to
thing.
See if people
it takes a while funny. To get enough gigs. I mean, especially, LA, you could do stand up every night if you wanted to. They wouldn't be great shows. A lot of them are open mics with just comics in the room. So they're not great shows, but just early on, the repetition of getting on stage and feeling what it's like to hold a microphone and talk to people in a room. And, you know, you're not really going to get great timing down.
Wait, performing for all comics, that's got to be a little nerve wracking.
It's terrible, but it's kind yeah. of a
they laugh? It's they just like
some do. Right. If it's a good bit, and you catch people surprised, they'll laugh. I mean, funny's yeah. funny.
That's true.
You know, yeah. But it's just a way to get your feet wet and just to get comfortable in your own skin and being on stage. And sometimes it helps to do those really rotten shows at the beginning, just because you start to build up that callous of just
thick skin of
I don't care if you guys laugh. I think this is funny. And then once you draw people into you, then it's different. Instead of trying to please the audience.
Sorry, does it matter if you think it's funny?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has to like it.
You have to think it's funny at some level or at some point. Like a lot of jokes, some of my jokes I don't find funny anymore because I've done them so much. But I know at one point I thought they were funny.
Right.
And the audience can tell if you go up there and you're just trying to please them.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever have a joke that's like above their heads, but you're like,
all the time.
I know you'll get this if you give me another year.
Right, you'd be like, no, that's funny. I've done jokes before. I'm like, no, that deserved a way bigger laugh. You guys should have laughed.
Yeah, you really like that?
Yeah, all the time. You don't let the audience off the hook. You have the microphone. Good. You're in charge.
That's awesome.
That's true, that's awesome. Huh? You can manipulate the whole room if you want.
And they like it. The audience likes being talked to like that.
Right.
They really do.
You bitch slapped?
They like being bitch slapped. If you go up there and you show any vulnerability at all, you're done.
Yeah, they'll true. Eat you up alive.
They'll eat you alive.
Wow.
You have to go up there and take charge of the room and just, like, don't take shit.
Yeah.
And just tell them, like, this is funny. If you're not laughing at it, you're losing out. Yeah. You're not having a good time because it's your fault.
Right. So what are some of the places you perform? Are there big places around town?
I've worked at all the, you know, the clubs in town, Comedy Store, right. Laugh Factory. I work out of the Improv a lot.
Do you really? Yeah, the Improv is pretty cool.
The Improv is cool. Yeah. They're all really cool.
Robin Williams started there, right?
Right. Yeah, at the Ice House, too.
I'm doing the Ice House tonight. I'll be at the Ice House tonight at 10 o'clock.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Wow. So tell us, like, some of your upcoming things. So tonight at the Ice House, what time?
10 o'clock. It's actually the one tonight. It's pretty cool. It's an improvised stand-up show. So we don't go up with a set at all. We go up and we just take suggestions from the audience and just make up stand-up right there on the spot.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that sounds
it's
like
a really
fun.
Cool show.
That's the Ice House is actually my favorite. You know, it's in Pasadena, and it's it's kind of like it's got a good vibe.
No,
to
it's
it.
A great
you
room.
Know, I like to.
It's
go
probably
there.
The best room in the city.
Oh, you think so? Yeah. Well, that's why I like it. You see,
it's the funnest one to play.
It's my hometown.
Good taste.
Yeah.
Because it's just far enough outside of Los Angeles where you get normal people going to the show. Yeah. Right? Regular people going to see a comedy.
Not the Hollywood
in people. In Hollywood, it's a little jaded. And it's just kind of like people like, I'm here to see my friend type of thing. So it's kind of, you don't get the same feel.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the closest you get to feeling like you're at a real comedy club.
Right.
Like when you go on the road and you're at a comedy club and people get to go out for the night and have a good time. It's an event for them.
Right.
And the audiences are better because they're jazzed up because it's like, I don't go to comedy all the time. This is great. Yeah. In Hollywood, it's sort of like, I got to go to a show Tuesday, then I have my buddy at Friday, I got to go see him. And so it's, the audiences are a little less excited.
So you grew up in Virginia, did you say?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. And you, Nikki, where?
I grew up in Arcadia, right next to Pasadena.
Oh, really? So you were born out here?
Yeah, I was actually born in Canada.
Oh, really?
He'll never be president.
Oh, my. You don't know that.
Yeah, exactly. They could change the law by then.
Yeah, that's right.
If they didn't do it for Arnold, they're not going to do it for you.
You never know. Dreams can happen, Eddie.
That's true. So what was your childhood like? I mean, you saw L.A. in a whole different light.
You know, the funny thing is, it's like whenever, you know, I meet people from somewhere else, it's like I always just assume, you know, for a long time I assumed that they had a similar, you know, upbringing. Like my graduating class from high school was 3,200 people. And that is not the norm. It's like most people have like 60 people in their graduating class.
My dad had 12.
Yeah. So, you know, it took me going traveling and touring with the band just to see other cities to understand, wow, it's like much smaller everywhere else. I mean, there are big cities everywhere else, but most of America is comprised of smaller cities, smaller neighborhoods. Right. But I actually grew up in a it was really fortunate. It was a suburb right next to Pasadena. So it was like a small town right next to one of the biggest cities in the country.
Very cool. Did you have a pretty good childhood?
I did. I was singing a lot, so I was missing a lot of school. But by high school, you know, my voice had changed, and that's when I was like partying a lot and just learning the lifestyle of the future rock star.
Do you have any siblings?
I have an older brother.
Oh, do you?
Yep.
Are you guys close?
Very close.
Always
been close. He's not in music. Cool. He's more like in politics and
World.
So we're opposite.
Totally different. So table discussion, I'm very quiet when they talk about like news and
I don't know what you're talking about.
I think it's seldom that brothers are the same, you know, or siblings in general, you know. It doesn't matter, you grow in the same house, but you both different people, you know. Mm-hmm. I have two brothers and we're all different from each other, you know. So so you don't necessarily, you know, grow up the same, you know, and so politics, music, whatever, as long as you got things you're interested
in. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like you're related, you're kin, so you're in the same room because of blood for whatever reason, so get to know each other,
you know. Yeah, and that's cool, hobbies. You know, I mean, it helps when the family's close, because some families are not like that at all, you know. So, anyway, so you guys brought some of your material here. We'll start maybe with one of your songs, Nikki, and then we'll go to a comedy from Eddie. So introduce the song to us.
So I recorded this record with a couple of members of the Dave Matthews Band, and this song has actually been charting. It's called Fade Away, and did a recent music video with Flash Mob on the Santa Monica Pier, and it's been winning some film fests, so I'm going to start with a bang. I'm going to start with
this
one.
Very cool.
Very cool. When did you write the song?
I wrote it probably about 2 years ago. Okay. It was kind of just like came to me randomly, and it was about actually a girlfriend who was going through a relationship struggle, and not with me, with somebody else.
Okay. You know?
So, you know, I just kind of was, you know, usually I'm writing about my own, you know, plights within love or, you know, success or whatever. But it was kind of like, you know, hearing what she was going through, it kind of gave me this objective perspective, you know, from both sides. So that's kind of the perspective I wrote about. And it's like, at the end of the day, the song is really about, you know, we have all these dramas and we get so wrapped up in these, like, things that we think are huge things. But at the end of the day, we all fade away to nothing.
That's
so
true.
Just, like, make the most of whatever you want your life to be and, you know.
Cool. You wrote the lyrics and the melody for the song?
I wrote the guitar parts. I wrote the melody. I did all the production.
So you sing and you play the guitar?
I sing, I play
okay,
guitar.
Okay, let's check it out. The song is Fade Away, and let's do it. Choices are all
thoughts that measure you, a dream of you.
Faded away too.
Yeah.
So we have some more time to talk. Great song,
thank you.
And your voice is amazing, you
thank
know.
You, thank you.
It's like so different from your speaking voice.
Yeah,
it is.
It's you know.
Could you just sing all the time?
Yeah.
You want me to That's just... what he's saying. That's basically what he's saying. Could you just not use your normal
like,
voice?
Your singing voice is nice, your speaking voice is so shitty. No, I mean, it's what I've been doing my whole life.
So yeah, so singing it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and it's kind of like when I speak, I don't want to be so singing.
Yeah, no, you know of course. I mean,
let it be the secret weapon that it is.
Right.
You know? So
it's different. I mean, talking is one thing. Singing is like a musical instrument, you know? It's totally different. And it's cool. I love to sing, too. I've sang all my life as well, so I really pay attention to the vocals,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, no, it's important. And it's really important.
Yeah. So, well, if you like the music, it's Nikhil Kurula, and the album is Solo Sessions, and this song was Fade Away. How long does it take you to write a song like that?
Sometimes it could take me 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Sometimes it'll take me, you know, I just wrote one song that took me years to write.
Wow.
It just wasn't coming out, you know?
Yeah.
So it just depends on, like, the place that you're in or what you're writing about or how inspired you are or like what you're feeling.
That's true.
So
yeah.
It depends.
Sometimes the melody just kind of comes to you easily, right?
Yeah. I think for me, like I studied so many like operatic scores when I was in music school. I went to USC. Mm. So like when I was like understanding how melody and the arrangements work, mm-hmm. I think it was like subconsciously, you know, giving me the open door to become a songwriter.
Right.
Just to think about music in that way, because forever I just wanted to be the singer,
right?
And then I was getting so into the scores and seeing like how it works,
yeah.
So I was like, you know, I want to write songs,
yeah,
that become arrangements like that. So
right,
that's the best part. Like you write in your room and then you record it with musicians that you love, and then by the time it's mixed and mastered and everything, and
yeah,
the guy that mastered Michael Jackson's name's Bernie Grumman.
Very cool.
Prince. So
yeah,
it's just yeah, working it's, with people
it sounds
like
professional.
Amazing.
It definitely
thank
sounds
you.
Professional. Yeah. It's not amateurish at all. And
wait till you hear my CD.
Yeah, well, we're gonna play that in just a second. So I totally forgot what I wanted to ask you, but this is...
I'm a Capricorn.
I'm a Capricorn. No.
Oh. You are? When were you born?
January 16th.
Okay, I'm December 27th. We'll have to party around that time.
There you go.
I was going to ask, when you have a song that takes over a year to write,
yeah,
and you have a song that takes 5 minutes, do you have more connection? Which one do you have more connection to? Because technically, I would think the year one.
You
but
would.
Then
you would think that, but maybe, it just depends. It depends. Like, it's like... It depends what the song's about.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on like how it comes out. Because sometimes you can wait 4 years to write a song, and then you're like, it's still not completely where I thought it would be.
Right.
Or a song can come out in 5 minutes, and you're thinking, yeah, it's good. And then over time, you're like, God, I love playing this. Years later, I'm still loving playing it. So I think songs are like your kids. Eddie totally disagrees. He's like, no, you can't. But it really
but
is.
It's like a baby that you release.
You create
finally,
something
yeah.
that's like you're never going to hate it. You right. know, because you know that you took the time to nurture it and create it. And right. once it's out, it's like you're going to love it no matter what.
So. Right. So, and that's what art is about. You know, you don't think about whether people are going to consume and buy it. You just do it because it's coming out of you. You know?
The fortunate yeah. thing is, like, you know, we've been headlining venues like the House of Blues in Los Angeles and playing these huge festivals like Summerfest in Bonnaroo. And it's really because of the fans. Mm. People are still buying our records, you know. Wow. So, like, we don't really, you know, we don't put our music on Spotify or any of that because, you know, it's like musicians have to be, I think they should be paid for what they do if they.
But Spotify pays, doesn't it?
Very little.
Very little?
Very little.
Wow.
I make more from an iTunes download than I think 10,000 Spotify streams.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just to give you. Yeah. You know, heads up.
See, I thought I'm paying for it, and the artists are getting the money. You know?
See, that's the illusion. And the weird thing is, the music, like the record labels, they're invested. They're invested partners in Spotify, so they have nothing to gain from releasing. Just like, oh, let's just put all of our artists on Spotify,
right?
And they'll get screwed, but we're getting money from the advertising revenue that the artists aren't getting,
right?
So it's so corrupt. So.
Yeah,
it but really you know, is. People are buying our records, and you know, if you're interested, nkband.com. That's where all of our records are sold. But people, that's what they're doing. They're buying.
Very cool.
It,
so where can people buy it again?
Nkbands.com.
Nkbands.com. And where do you guys perform? Around town?
Yeah, we're actually going to do a big festival with Sublime with Rome and Vertical Horizon and Everclear September 14th. And that'll be in Avila Beach, just a couple hours north. We just headlined the House of Blues not too long ago and played Summerfest, opened up for Ray LaMontagne. So we're kind of all over the
map. A lot of fun. Yeah, a lot of fun.
It's a good life.
Yeah. And Eddie, so you have just the one kid, right? The one boy.
Yeah,
you
I got
said?
The one kid.
Yeah,
I got the one.
You should open number two.
You should open with me. Nikhil's stories are much more impressive.
Yeah. No, it's okay. But
I should have saved him to headline the show.
No.
Are you married?
I'm married. Yes.
You're married. Yeah. Well, how about you, Nikhil? Are you married?
Not married.
No, you
He's
come across as single.
He's yeah. married to his art.
Married to my yeah.
Okay, so Eddie, let's get to your comedy. You brought us a few sketches here. Let's listen to one of them. Han Solo is a dick.
Yeah.
Now that's pretty interesting. For those of you who don't know who Han Solo is,
then you're an idiot. Yeah. You don't know who Han Solo
or you're too young. Yeah. But of course, from Star Wars,
Charlotte, so you know who Han Solo is, right?
Okay, see, yeah. Everyone knows. You got it.
Just making sure.
Yeah. All right. So let's hear Eddie Pence.
My favorite scene in Star Wars, though, is in Empire Strikes Back when Han Solo gets on his Tauntaun to go save Luke Skywalker in the snow. And that deck officer runs up to him and goes, "Captain Solo, your Tauntaun will freeze before it reaches the first marker." And then he turns to the deck officer and goes, "Well, I'll see you in hell!" And then rides off on his Tauntaun. That's a good fucking Tauntaun impression, people. I don't know why you're holding back. That's a fucking good Tauntaun impression. That's a good fucking Tauntaun impression. But the scene ends there, and you follow Han Solo to go see Luke in the snow. I want to see the deck officer scene, because he just got shit on. I want to see Captain Solo, your Tauntaun will freeze before you reach the first marker. Well, I'll see you in hell. What the hell did you say to him? Was Tauntaun will freeze before it reaches the first marker? He said he'd see you in hell? Yeah. Fucking dick. He's trying to save his life, you know? What a fucking asshole. Has it been here 2 months? He's a captain because he has his own ship. I've been here 4 years. I'm still a deck officer. This is bullshit. Between you and me, I might go Empire. Dental, health, rank and file. You don't just show up there and chip in your captain. Is that door shut? Is he gone? Fuck you! It's a fucking good Tauntaun impression. Good Tauntaun impression. You okay, girl?
Very funny, yeah, Eddie Pence.
Thanks.
I love that joke.
I really want to catch your comedy. So now, if I can't make it tonight at the Ice House, when's the next thing?
I mean, I have something coming up in Glendale in September.
Okay, do you have a website where people can
Eddie
find
Pence
out?
EddiePence.com.
EddiePence.com.
EddiePence.com
D-O-T. Don't talk down to our listeners.
I'll talk down to everybody. Screw you guys.
Well, you're pretty funny. So, I mean, just curiously, are you able to make a living from the comedy, or do you have to do something?
It was weird. I was making a living before I had a kid.
Yeah.
Because I was on the road, and I could make money at clubs and stuff the road. But when I had the kid, I kind of came off the road to raise my kid a little bit.
Right.
So I became sort of a stay-at-home dad. So I do make money, but I don't. I mean, I'm married, so we kind of support ourselves.
Right,
so
cool.
If I was alone, I didn't have a kid, I could make money. I could survive. There's not a lot of money in comedy.
Yeah, that's why I was asking.
No, there's not. If I was alone, it wouldn't be a problem. But having a wife and kid, you sort of got to share the burden. So
that's true. Yeah. So you stay at home, dad. That's pretty cool.
Pretty much. Yeah, I go on the road every couple months. I'll go out.
But I think that's a testament to his character too. So. It's like,
yeah, no,
he's
absolutely
a very good stand-up comic, and he chooses more to stay at home so he can be a dad,
right?
To his kid instead of being a great stand-up comic who's never around for his kids.
Right. Yeah, I don't get that at all. I mean, these are beautiful years when your kids are growing up, and I wouldn't want to miss those.
No, I made the right choice. It's
you did. You did. And
I love it in a big way.
So, and Nikhil, where can people find you? Do you have a website too?
Yeah, it's nkband.com.
Nkband.com. Okay. So that's your website, the one that you gave. Okay. I thought it was just a general website.
No, that's okay.
Nkband.com. And
our show is on Tuesday nights at LA Talk Radio, 8 to 9 p.m.
Right. Wake Up Hollywood. Don't forget that.
Just in case. That's why we're here. People are listening for an hour but when is their show?
Seriously.
Just listen to all of them.
I don't care about their websites. I don't even like these guys. When is their show?
No, it sounds like you guys have a lot of fun, and that's good.
Definitely.
And it's nice to have a good buddy as well. I'm still searching for one.
So is Nikhil.
Hey. You have a beautiful co-host.
That's true, but she's got her own life. Yeah,
I mean, I want
just Charlotte under the bus
voice.
Right there. I'm still looking for a buddy.
But when you have a male friend, it's different, right?
Yes,
it's a buddy.
We can horse around.
Bromance.
You can fart and everything.
Well, Eddie does most of the farting.
That's my kids.
And you can talk about girls.
That's right.
There
course,
you go.
Of course.
All right. Well, Nikhil, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much,
Eddie.
Sam Brown.
You're a lot of fun.
Thanks for having us.
Charlotte.
Of course. Everybody, catch the show Wake Up Hollywood Tuesdays at 8. Right here on LA Talk Radio. Go get the music, get the comedy, check them out. Are you going to be the House of Blues again soon?
Yeah, I heard they're closing down, so I emailed them.
Really?
Did you hear about that?
No.
I heard about that.
Yeah, so they told me that it's not going to happen for about 18 months.
Right.
So we may get back there in the next month or so. I'll see. I'll definitely let you know when we do.
Wow, that's interesting. So they're probably not making money, huh?
Well, they are, but they got they sold the location. Like, the whiskey's closing, Hustler stores closing,
yes,
and House of Blues. He knew about the Hustler.
No, I know, because
because
his hair just rolled down his cheek.
That's true, huh? It sounded pretty weird
for apartments.
No,
but I read the
hotels.
Trades, you know,
they're gonna build hotels, which is crazy. And House of Blues said they told me, they were like, the press is making it sound like we're leaving Friday, but we're just moving locations. But to me, the history, the vibe, the location is
it's
there.
It's,
and we've headlined there 23 times. So
really?
That place is our home base in LA. So I'm a little bit nervous about where they're going to move and if it's going to have the same vibe. So I kind of want to get in there at least one more time. And
that's
then
true.
Maybe look at some other venues to
very cool.
To
very cool.
Home.
Okay, everybody. So check it out. If you have time tonight, you want to see some comedy, go to the Ice House where you can see Eddie. And
it's called the Thunder Pussy Show.
The Thunder Pussy Show. Okay, then you definitely don't want to miss
Thunder
that.
Thunder Pussy.
Sam will be
all
there.
Right.
Sam's there right now.
I'm there right now.
He's buying his tickets.
Everybody, have a great weekend. Thank you guys again
for joining us.
You're a lot of fun. Charlotte, have a great weekend.
You too.
Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you on Monday.
Best in morning radio. Tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Only on LA Talk Radio.